terms of the national development plan of the district land reform policy. Now, all the provinces, the districts in the country, have established the district land reform policy. And there are lots of lessons that we learned. But one very important thing that we would like to emphasize, and would be happy if the policy is to make sure that we want to do away with the dominance of officials in the allocation of positions. We want these committees to play a major role. Now, what this means is that the committee then provides a secretarial support to the discipline of committees in the allocation of money. This committee is established what they refer to as beneficiary selection for the people of their own. And then they receive these applications, which are processed and brought before them by the officials. And they set all of these, and then they refer those to the people of the committee. So I'm saying that when we do the oversight, let's take this into account. The second thing we did in this regard is to establish these districts who have compulsory and control. Again, these districts have compulsory and control that are very, very crucial and central in the design of their parks and so on. So, this report moving forward from the next financial year, this report will reflect the structural changes that we're introducing at the department. So that the committee will then be in a position to establish power between the lastly, one of the we then appointed the district mayors across the country to the political champions of this other part. This is a very, very important initiative because it links to the defense, it links very well with the defense of the committee. This is that the we requested the mayor because we, in the decentralization of the structure for re-engineering of the department, at the district level, we established this district joint operational center. And we requested the district mayor to appoint a senior official to chair that. It is within the department, but it's chaired by the district mayor so that the information that comes in there and goes out there is aligned to the district. Now, and then at the local level, we've appointed the, we are in the process rather of, we've already consulted with them and met with them. We are in the process of appointing the local municipal mayor to be political champions of four of our provinces. The agri, sorry, one household next one. The one household is very south from them. The land rights management committee in terms of the extra amendment that is for Parliament now. And we, in terms of the people area in particular, we also realize that the districts in this area don't have such a basic facility where they could come together. That includes rural towns, by the way, where we want to have the issue of them. And the debated community development plan, so we can also train them and put in facilities in terms of the Wi-Fi, all of these facilities that just don't exist in the people area. So those four, we have agreed with the program there that they will be political champions for us. So, but there will be a write-up, and then we'll get a point to the meeting and talk about that in July. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Melissa. Thank you, members, Chairperson. What we're going to then present today as requested is the way in which we're going to address the annual performance plan of the department and how we then have spread our targeting and our allocation across the provinces. So we will present in two parts. DDG Southgate will take us through in terms of the high-level targets per province aligned to the APP, and then the finance team will take us through the allocation. Thank you.
Thank you. on women. There are two presentations, and I don't want to say there are just two. The one is about ACT, and just a bit about our ACT, because we're at the NPLP, all our provinces have what are known as integrated operational plans that are linked to our ACT, but they also do things in a province that are particular to a province. And it included what we're talking to is the integrated operational plans of our provinces at this particular stage. Critical, I think, for NCLP because it's very different and gives you additional information that you can have available to you with regard to the work in a province. Then the department was also provided with another question from the secretary. That's in another presentation in which the committee looked at things, what the simple impact in terms of the delay in legislation, impact on our program, and I won't be talking to that unless it is requested, but that is also available. We provided that information. So then the third presentation was with the budget that was introduced to the colleagues as well as the department. So I'll go through what is known as the ACT IOP, Integrated Operational Plans of the provinces, and take you through that. I'll take you through quick, I'll try and be as brief as possible. This basically is what we refer to as the wagon wheel in the department, and we look at how we apply agrarian transformation. You'll see from the cover of our ACT document that has been circulated, it will be included always in all our presentations that we do and all public documents that we make available. So that we provide this kind of picture and wagon wheel. On the right-hand side, when you look at the block that refers to 10 years of reform, it has the structures the minister was referring to that we are creating in districts and in provinces with regard to land reform. Right at the bottom are the phases that we're going through, and there's going to be overlap in the phases. So you look at phase one, which is meeting basic human needs, phase two, which is enterprise development, and phase three, which deals with agro-village industry, fixed facilities and markets. So there's a bit of overlap between the three phases, but we are touching on phase three and working in phase three at this particular stage. If I go through basically the ACT and some IOP, you'll see that the expanded ones, which are compulsory, are the we've touched at 90, I think at 96%, 98% of the getting our invoices paid within 30 days. We've got an electronic system that we are piloting at the project stage in the department so that we can track all the invoices that come into the department. And then the unqualified audit. Then in terms of finance component and the program, we're trying to get our budget spend in right in terms of cutting. So although we say we're trying to go for 25% of our budget in 2021, it doesn't always work exactly like that, but it's a good measure for people. May I continue? Sorry. Then in terms of contribution towards achieving an unqualified audit, we're going to deeper extent. I spoke about that. Then you'll see that is the ACT in our integrated operational plan of the province. We have percentage of those that were awarded with a fixed up 67 days from the advert of the day. You won't find that in our ACT. But what we're telling provinces now is because it is a crucial thing in terms of delivery of our projects in provinces, we found that it's often delayed because of supply chain management challenges. A bid document might be incomplete or the committee can't sit, and we're saying you have 67 days now, okay, to basically award a bid from the date it is advertised. And they get measured, and you see all provinces have to commit to that. Then, number of days taken to issue an order number for procurement of goods and services in the date of receipt of the request. These are for all orders that are below 500,000. So they must do it within 30 days. So that's the measure, that's the yardstick against which the province is heading. Again, this you won't find in our ACT, but it's in the integrated operational plan of the province. The percentage of least debtors taken through the credit control and debt collection process, and this is it. The percentage of grievances, again, is not in our ACT, but if there are stark grievances, the percentage of grievances resolved within 30 days is that 80% of all the grievances must be resolved. There will be those that are a bit more challenging, that have a longer period. The disciplinary cases, 80% of the disciplinary cases in the province must be resolved within 90 days. Vacancies filled within 120 days from the date the person is actually advertised. We say that you have 120 days before the date. If not, we have a system in the department. If you don't take quality within those, your the money that is allocated to that person is up for grabs by another component. Okay, so you do run that just. Then number of provincial governance structures, the PJTC, back office and the region. In the province, the district municipalities that have their targets based on the district municipalities, there are 12, and they must all be functioning. They will be assessed by a unit at head office that will go and do inspections and audits to make sure. They are also required to submit the adopted minutes of those structures to national, so that we can assess whether those structures are functioning properly. Then we go to implementation of a communication plan, 100%. Then we that is administration. So if we go to our ACT, there will be two targets in our in the ACT. If we go to the integrated operational plan of the province, we'll find more than just those two. And this is by in terms of trying to better manage the work of the department. We go now to program 2, which will consist of our geospatial industrial services. I think most commonly known there would be the deeds section, the deeds offices which are under our control. And then you have the NGMS section out in Mowbray. I always use the example of the people who use Garmin and Thompson, all those maps on your phone. That is where they get the latest information from, that is also the hub. And then we have the people who are responsible for spatial planning and support to the district municipalities in terms of spatial planning. That is located in program 2 of the department. Now, when we look at it, we ensure integrated and comprehensive land administration system in the department, broken up into various indicators, deeds and documents registered. We're looking for 929,241 deeds registered. This is a sort of approximation based on past performance over the last 2 to 3 years. If you look at number of district rural development plans facilitated for implementation, 35 district rural development plans for implementation. Then you look at percentage of deeds made available within 7 days, 95%. But the challenge with that in terms of past performance, for technical reasons, because of our IT systems that we're trying to resolve that, we've just appointed a new head of IT within the deeds office at National, and the system has stabilized quite substantially since then. Average number of their working days taken to process our registrable items is 14, and the number of maps of the National Map Series produced and reviewed are 204 for 27 this year. Okay. This is it in terms of district rural development plans broken up per province. Okay, so you can see these things at 5, 3, 7, 3, 5, 2, and I won't go through the whole list, and we've broken them up in terms of resources as well. When we go to, I see there's a, there might be a typo there. Okay. If I go through the sheet, so the annual target is 5, so the full target should be 5, because the total target is 55. It cannot be 35 in each quarter. My apologies for that. We go to the number of municipalities supported to implement the land use management scheme. We have a total of 192, and it's broken up per province as well. If we go to the number of that one also has a mistake. Number of deeds and documents that are registered. this is broken up, this is correct in terms of our needs offices and the number of units over there, just 1041 for each of our provincial offices. We have, if you'll see by Limpopo, we've now just opened the Limpopo office, the targeting will be based on this baseline in terms of what they will do, for this will be their first year of operation. So we don't have a baseline yet for them. They were assisted by the housing funds, if I remember correctly, in terms of their registration. So all those deeds now will go there. Percentage of deeds made available, as indicated, 95%, 14 days for the others, so there's not much different. Examined for proof, the average number of days that you spoke with your register is 14 days. So it's the same for all of them. In terms of program 3, in which we have our rural production program, and our VAID program, our Enterprise and Industrial Development program, the facilitation of infrastructure development to support rural economic transformation by 2020, your infrastructure project facilitated to support production 120, your agri-park infrastructure project is 53, and your socio-economic project facilitated in support of the revitalization of rural centers, 30. And then the number of rural agriculture enterprises supported in our 44 districts would be 141. Then number of our new non-agricultural enterprises supported in the 44 districts are 55. Number of skills development opportunities provided in rural development initiatives, we had a total of 6,600 but broken up between our enterprise and industry development and our infrastructure development, 3,000 and 3,612. And job opportunities created in rural development initiatives, we have 5,448. And again, between those two programs, we split them between RAID 2009-18 and RAID 2005-18. I'm not going into the MCF targets and projections. We have, this is the number of infrastructure projects in terms of your river catalytic one, where we've gone per province in terms of what they're going to do. Behind all of this, people are what is known as project plans or project registers. So if the committee chairperson requires the detail between, if I take, for example, the KZN annual target 2, what are those two things? The detail can be provided at the later stage if required. Those things are required to be planned by your provinces in detail so that we can align that with budget expenditure as well. If I go to the next one, your percentage of rural development in movable assets verified and included in the assets register should be 100% so that it is counted in. The number of the agricultural management council functional, if we do the breakdown of that in each of the provinces as well, where this thing should be functional. Your number of agri-hub infrastructure projects delivered in support of the agri-hub program, was just a breakdown for the provinces. And I said there's detail behind each of this, but also gives you the budget allocation that we're going to spend on each of these things. Not on each, but on the total thing. The breakdown per province will be provided by the finance colleagues when we go into their presentation. Then we have number of socio-economic infrastructure projects facilitating support of revitalization of our rural towns and villages, and provincial data and a total target of 50. Made up of all the provinces and the new agricultural enterprises supported in the provinces, and I give you the breakdown per province again. So I'm just taking from right the first few slides under this program, this is the provincial breakdown. Number of households in support of the one household, 1 hectare, and one household, 2 dairy cows. Projects that we will be running out are 1,013 households in total across the 9 provinces. And we give an indication per quarter. You'll see quarter one being very low because this is where we do most of the procurement and the paperwork. And then it escalates as we go to quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four. And then the number of existing agricultural enterprises supported in the 44 per 100 statistics are 156 agricultural enterprises. I think you need to also get familiar with 1HA and 1H2BC. I think we'll be referring to that because it goes quicker. Your 1H, your 1X02 dairy cow is 1H2BC. It's a new project in the department. The number of new non-agricultural enterprises supported in the 44 districts is 53, and we give you the breakdown per province. Okay, again, if you're looking for the enterprises we're going to be supporting, there are project plans behind all of that. Number of existing non-agricultural enterprises supported in the 44 priority districts is 78, and we give you the breakdown per province as well. The number of rural enterprises supported, 19. Number of market linkages facilitated would be 25. And then the number of skills development opportunities provided, again, this is the total that we have. The slide was, I think, 6,218, and now we give you the breakdown per province between RAID, RID, and NADISEC in terms of the skills development opportunities that we provide in the rural. Critical that we stack it per program so that we can better align our budget expenditures and accounts in terms of how we're spending the money. So each of the RID, the RAID, and the NADISEC programs need to give an account and need to specifically target for this in their programs and in their planning. And as indicated to you, each in case of media, so three set targets and all nine provinces have targets in this regard. Then the number of skills development opportunities providing rural development initiatives, again, we give you the breakdown in terms of the provinces. I think this continues, okay, from the previous slide. Then we go to number of youth recruited and enrolled in the NADISEC program. I'm on slide 56 of the figure. Our target is 2,650, and we give you the breakdown per province, and you'll see the major intakes are in quarter 2 and in quarter 4. For the now, we only have two major intakes for the NADISEC program. Number of agricultural graduates that we employ, 205 in our projects, and so that is also given per breakdown, per province, which is the breakdown of the agricultural graduates. Quite a number of these agricultural graduates, we'll start tracking up, are taken up permanently in the agricultural sector once they've had the exposure and experience working with the Department of Rural Development. Land reform on the project. The number of NADISEC youth absorbed into work programs are targeted 450. We go to the number of exit plans for NADISEC intake facilitators. So this would be not individual, but in terms of the actual intake. So we're taking, if we have an intake of 700, as you saw in the previous one, the provinces are required to put together a plan for their development, but also a plan for the exit out of the system so that we're able to provide them with some kind of direction, if not allocation of possible employment beyond the NADISEC program. So for each of the intakes, that has to be set by the relevant province. The number of temporary jobs created in rural development initiatives by RID, 2,533. We've been asked to distinguish between temporary, and I think your next one will be the, should be the permanent job. Okay. The number of permanent jobs created, so you'll have the RID, the RAID, and the RID and RAID again, in terms of permanent jobs that need to be created. Then we go to number of permanent jobs, that is also permanent jobs, and then, so that would be the last one in terms of permanent three. Then we go to restitution, which is program 4. On page 42, facilitate the restoration of land rights and also to support an effort for the rebate by 2020. So the number of land claims finalized, 724. Number of land claims settled, 1,001. Number of phase projects approved, 105. And you'll see the remainder of our claims lodged by 1980 research, which is 916. And the end date for that 916 is actually end of the first quarter in this current financial year, where they have been asked to finish all of that by the end of June. And so now we just go into the provincial breakdown of those targets that I indicated to you, and you'll see the budget allocation for the work in terms of land rights is 2.6 billion rand. The phase project, again, we give you the provincial breakdown, and then the number of claims are set to be researched, 916. Land reform on urban side. Page 45. to promote equitable land redistribution and agriculture done by acquiring strategically located land by 2020. Number of hectares acquired, 96,165. Number of hectares allocated to smallholder farmers, 48,000. The number of hectares allocated to farm dwellers and or labour tenants is 9,600. The number of farms in strengthening the relative science policy acquired, there are 18 farms that have to be acquired for that. The number of households supported under the one household, one hectare program is 5,000. Then provide comprehensive farm development support to smallholder farmers and land reform beneficiaries for agrarian transformation. Number of households supported under the one household, two dairy cows, 384. The number of jobs created in land reform program, 5,500. The CPA Association supported to be compliant with legislation in 2010 is 256. Number of labor tenants applications settled, 1,464. And the number of state land parcels confirmed as vested was 686. And so there we give you now the hectares acquired in each of the provinces as well, from the Eastern Cape right down to the Western Cape. We break it down in the various programs as well that you'll be acquiring the land. Then the number of hectares allocated to smallholder farmers, this is the provincial breakdown. I must also indicate that we do provide the budget allocation as well, but I don't want to go into that because the budget people will talk through that. The number of hectares allocated to labour tenants, per province, and that's the provincial breakdown. In terms of that 48,000 that we have, that's 4,370. In the number of hectares allocated for farm dwellers, in terms of the extra legislation, the 5,996, and we give you the provincial breakdown there. The functionality of our district land reform committee, the entire province is going to be 100% functional in all the provinces. The number of platforms identified for the incubation and training of our agricultural graduates. There are 12 farms that will be certified for that. The number of farms in strengthening relative size, 18 hectares need to be acquired for that. The number of farms that are acquired in terms of strategically located land, and we give you the provincial breakdown, and we give you the program that will be, that they will be acquired in the farm. Number of households supported under the one household, one hectare program, 5,000 per okay, number of jobs created in land reform program. I'm not going to go into detail there. The farmers trained in the land reform program, that is the provincial breakdown. The CPAs have indicated 256, which is the breakdown per province as well. The compliant CPA. Then we have a number of bunker projects. You'll see the Eastern Cape and Western Cape. Application supported towards the adjustment of title deeds. Again, these are what you won't find in ACT, you'll find in IOT. And then informal land rights on communal land. Number of transfers of the deeds to households, communities, legal institutions, and local authorities. Again, you won't find in ACT, but this you'll find in the IOT. Number of labour tenant applications settled, that's your 1,434, majority of them being held against. The fence of section 17 major issues, 100% issues are denied. Number of performance reports submitted, that's an entire ocean target, and number of second parts submitted is an 82 target. The days taken for process vesting application, and the vesting package verified and marked as well. And within 10 days for your days taken for process of vesting application, then for percentage of assets verified and barcode is 100%. Number of days taken for purchase day disposal application, number of days disposal application submitted. Then the average number of days taken to complete and signing contract on the date of acquisition is 450 days. That's the IOP of the provinces in contract with ACT. Thank you.
from financing will be done into two parts as requested. The first part will be your budget allocation, and then the second one will be your budget versus departmental policy priorities, and the third part will be the readiness. The first slide is the application of the program, which is in terms of administration, we have 1.7 billion. National Geomatic Management Services, 2 million. Rural Development, 1.9 billion. Restitution, 3.2 billion. Land Reform, 2.6 billion. In terms of percentages, the highest contribution is going to restitution at 32%, and then the second one goes to land reform at 26%. And then the third one goes to rural development at 19%, and then administration 17%, and NGMS 7%. There's the price. Then we have the appropriation technical station, where you see now in terms of what is it that we have allocated as a department. We have the compensation of employees at 2.1 billion, which contributes the 22% of our budget in the department. Goods and services, 1.7 billion at 17%. Provincial and local government, 67%, which contributes 1%. Departmental agencies and accounts, 1.4 billion at 15%. Foreign government international organizations, minimal. And then public corporation and private enterprise, also minimal. And then the non-profit institutions, also minimal. Households, the biggest chunk of our budget is sitting under households, where our projects are sitting, at 4.6 billion, which contributes 46% of our total budget in the department. And then we have machinery and equipment, which is quite minimal, and software and other intangible assets, which is quite minimal as well. The next one will be the provincial office allocation. And I think this one is in response to what the Chief has already alluded to today. The finance team will be reflecting the allocations per province. For Eastern Cape, we have 712, Free State, 442, Gauteng, 412, KwaZulu-Natal, 1.2 billion, Limpopo, 925, Mpumalanga, 1 billion, Northern Cape, 449, Northwest, 644, Western Cape, 525. The total, the overall total budget that goes to the province out of the 10.1 billion that we have in the department is 6.4 billion. Then the economic classification, a provincial economic classification allocation, the compensation of employees is 1.2 billion at 22%, goods and services 345,000, 345 million at 5.37%, and then provincial and local government 67, which is minimal at 1.5%, and then households 4.6 billion. As I've already said, that's the biggest chunk of our budget that contributes towards the project and the risk as presented by Digital Southgate at 72% at the provincial level. And then the share and the percent is 15%. Then the second part that we were requested to pay was the budget versus department policy priorities, of which we did. You'll remember that Digital Southgate already presented in terms of the projects that we are implementing as the department, like your AgriHub, your ADMP, your farmer production support unit, your River Valley Catalytic Program, and the economic infrastructure. So we've tried to do a breakdown using those priorities, trying to align to our ATP and our IOP. In terms of risk, the budget sitting there is 760 million. And then when you go to rate, where you have your agri-industries, your job opportunities, and your agri- and non-agri enterprises, we are sitting at 432 million. And then when you go to lending, we are sitting at 2.6 billion. And then when you go to your one household, 1 hectare, one household, 2 dairy cows, the contribution is at 416 million and inclusive of recap commitments. And then when you go to ALA, which is agricultural land holding account for acquisition, and also a part of that is one household, 1 hectare and recap, which is sitting at 1.4 billion. Then the next slide, and this is where now we're going to reflect what I've already presented in terms of the summary per province. What is it that goes to each province in terms of the investment, in terms of project implementation in the department? The first one will be your household project per branch and province, which is NARICEX. And each province is having the same share at 4482 million. Then households per project, you go to REIT. Now there you'll see that there is a sort of differences when compared to the NARICEX one that I presented earlier on. For Eastern Cape, for REIT is 1.4 million, Free State 56 million, Housing 63 million, KwaZulu-Natal 152 million, Limpopo 87 million, Mpumalanga 76 million, Northern Cape 34 million, Northwest 69 million, Western Cape 69 million, at 760 overall. Then we go to RAID, and the contribution there for Eastern Cape is 64 million, Free State 34 million, Gauteng 26 million, KwaZulu-Natal 84 million, Limpopo 47 million, Mpumalanga 40 million, Northern Cape 36 million, Northwest 34 million, Western Cape 66 million, at a total of 432 million per province. Then when you go to restitution, the restitution per province at a total of 2.6 billion. For Eastern Cape, it's the layout for province.
Okay.
All right. I think this is where we started to say this is the provincial office allocation. This is the total balance, which is at 6.4 billion. Then now what we're trying to do, we're trying to split the economic classification in terms of the project. But we have picked the one for households because that's where the bulk of the budget is sitting, where I said the investment is sitting, the implementation of projects. So we've done the breakdown. The breakdown that I'm presenting now is mainly focusing on households, which is trying to explain to the slides that I've already presented at a high level for province, the, and then the economic classification. I'm not sure whether I'm... Okay. All right. Okay. I think I'm done with restitution. Then LRD is 450 million. Then Eastern Cape is 50 million from there. Then Gauteng, 22 million. KwaZulu-Natal, 128. And then the totals only. Okay, 95. Then LPA, 96 million. Then we have departmental agencies where now you'll see ALA and ITB, your cases in Wanyama Trust Board and Office of the Velo General and South African Geomatic Council. In total, it's 1.4 billion. Then you go to your provincial and local government where you have now the rating and a smaller amount of vehicle licenses, which is 5.6 million. Then you go to LTA, the total of that is 62 million. And then you go to ALHA. ALHA is agricultural land holding account. I'm not sure whether I must read the overview for you or you go through the overview, but there is an interesting part there that is showing the decrease in terms of the allocation for land acquisition, because ALHA is mainly for land acquisition. and part of 1 hectare, one household, and also the rehab commitment. Then they, we are reflecting that in terms of ALA, what we are transferring to them as the department is 1.4 billion. And there, there's a reflection of how did they arrive to 1.4 billion. Initially, it was 1.5 billion, but due to the cuts from National Treasury, we ended up having 1.4 billion. Then those are the projects that they are implementing in the province for strategic land acquisition at 957 million. And then for rehab and development at 328 million, and then rates and taxes is 50 million. And then now we come into the budget versus department policy priorities, which is quite similar to what I presented earlier on. I'm not sure whether I must go through again to that. Can I pass?
No, right.
Okay. I'll hand over to Mr. Malisha to present the state.
Good day, honorable members of the House at large. My name is Nchaven Malisha, responsible for budget performance management. I'll respond, this slide will respond to the question around state of readiness to effectively and efficiently spend the departmental budget. So during the finalization of the 2017 END, the department developed demand management plans and procurement plans and linked them to the project registers and the budgets in order to ensure that procurement will be at time and within the budget. So these procurement plans were reliably determined and appropriate sourcing strategies were also developed. We also developed a breakdown of anticipated expenditure that was also approved by treasury. So the anticipated spending will be, or performance will be monitored regularly to ensure that the scarce resources within the department are spent within budget. So you remember there are cost containment measures that were implemented through national treasury. So the department had adjusted the policies to be in line with these cost containment measures. So we'll continue enforcing these cost containment measures in 2017-18. So within the procurement plan of the department, roughly 5.2 billion of the 2.4 of the department are basically contractual obligations. This is the expenditure that has to happen. It's your salaries and also transfers to entities like ALA, as well as organizational needs. Organizational needs of the department are basic requirements for the department to run its mandate, like office accommodation, costs, audit fees, and so on and so forth. In other words, 5.2 billion is guaranteed that the department will spend because already it's due to contractual obligation within the department. 2.2 billion due to household projects, it's multi-year projects that are carrying over to the 2017-18 financial year. MOUs have been signed already on these ones, and also orders were issued to service providers. So 1.3 billion household projects within the procurement plan that will go through the normal SDM processes. Example, invitation of tenders, of which 65.2 of these projects are projected to be awarded by October 2017. So the next slide is breakdown, I mean, it's a trend on monthly expenditure that the department will incur. If you check, there are some spikes. The first one is in June. This will be bulk of household commitments. These are restitution grants to be paid in June 2017. So on other spikes, up to the end of the financial year,
will be mainly transferred to ALA, that is transferred on a quarterly basis. The spike will be high in July, October, and January of 2017-18. So there's a slide. There was also a question around payment of invoices on 30 days invoices. A trend of the performance on payment of invoice within 30 days. In 16-17, the department achieved 94% of invoices were paid within 30 days. 15-16, 97, 14-15, 92%, and 2013-14, 91%. The reason for non-compliance for not achieving 100% was mainly because the department included in the invoice age analysis included invoices that had discrepancies such as invalid tax clearance certificates, incomplete banking details, and so forth. So what the department did to comply with the 30 days regulation was to exclude the report that have discrepancies and solve those discrepancies with the supplier until they are resolved. Then they will be reported in the age analysis. So as well as invalid tax clearance access, the implementation of the central service provider database made us be able to access the tax clearance information. So it will assist us in order to comply with the 30 days invoice analysis. And also export factor invoices, the department is the finance control committee to ensure that effective and efficient execution of irregular, wasteful, and fruitless expenditure is dealt with. I think that is all. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Those are the two presentations from the department outlining the targets and then the budget allocations that we will be having across the country for this year.
Well, thank you very much, honorable member. And also welcome all the honorable members that join us while we are already in. Honorable Connie, honorable, all of you, even from the department, all those that join us. Let's welcome the presentation, honorable. Start engaging with the presentation. But before that, there is a committee that we have included that has been established for this year. Oh, the Deputy Minister has also joined us. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I did receive your apology here, but I really didn't see it. Yes, we are anticipating that we will shortly be able to join us, so that when we engage, we'll be part of the team that will be responding to the Honorable Member. Honorable Connie, because I know you will be also be leaving, you'll have the first fight. Who else? Honorable Prince, Honorable Nitan, Honorable Smith, Honorable Julia, Honorable Mambo. Yeah, thank you very much. Maybe in that order, Honorable Connie.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
because I'm leaving, I'm actually late. I'm gonna ask my question, and I would prefer that my question be responded to via the email straight from the minister or the deputy minister. It's my humble request. I would want to ask the department as to when or has the department started the processes of expropriating land without compensation for equal redistribution to its rightful owners, being blacks, we know. And then we all know that the land is in the hands of the wrong people or of the thieves. So I would suggest that the money we are using to buy to buy the land back should be redirected somewhere else.
Just
let us not be personal. Let's
in a committee, the other platform will be open for debate, you know. In the committee, let us not use harsh language or speech. Thank you, honorable member.
Maybe my problem is calling a spade, you know, and then sometimes if you are guilty of something, even when it's not directed to you, you'll just jump and be emotional, whereas it's not about individuals at the same time. But I would refrain from that. Thank you very much, President. The President Zuma also hinted out that this thing should be looked into. So I expect the President Zuma to have informed the department, the relevant department who's dealing with the issue of land, that the processes must be started, and then I just wanted to check how far are we, if we have started or not, and if we have started, how far are we? But then, like I said, I because I have to rush, and this is my question, I would prefer that it be responded to via the email. I would leave my email address.
Thank you for the question, but questions will go to the committee, and as a member of the committee, you will get your question. Thank you.
Very much, Chairperson. I just want to advise the committee. The question that the honourable member is asking is not in terms of what you said must bring here. So I will advise the member that if he wants to pose a question, he must pose that question in a relevant way so that he can respond, either a written response or whatever. Because as it stands now, as I was listening to you, this question is not on the things that you as a committee requested us to bring here. It's a question outside there. That's my answer.
Chairperson, through you, Chairperson. No, I got it, Deputy Minister, and I would do as requested. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation by the department. Let me also welcome the presentation. My one concern on the and experience in my province. Is it possible that we can have a quarterly update on the progress on the specifically AgriFarm? Because when you go into your constituency, people raise questions and issues and concerns and behaviors and all those kinds of things. And I am not in the position of constituency, or maybe all of us are not in the position to answer and to advise the process or what it is. That's the one thing. Also, on the, I saw you presented the target of one hectare, one family issue. I don't know where it is. If it is happening in our area, in which way. I do understand that it's presented, maybe I don't have time. But if we can just, I remember I spoke to you, Minister, on that issue that we love to have. One thing, and I know that also in the district, even the district, is going to ever up, but it's just that we don't know where and what is going on. So that is kind of the thing. At least when we're having meetings that we will be able to answer some of these questions. The other one is, I do understand I wrote a letter to request the appeal process of if you dispute land claim. There is a dispute from the state. The fee was not appeal, but they paid out the money to these people or those who lost the appeal. I just want to understand how I did request, I sent the information to the land commissioner, complaint, but how is it that something like this can slip through without picking up if there is other people? I don't know. I know that they families, they investigate, and how is it that they must just funding allow this? They proceed with a payout after receiving a distribution. And that is a concern. Currently, I'm going to make to raise it here, stay here. My brother-in-law came to my house bragging that they are going to pay out shortly, and they are five brothers. I was saying, no, what about the other six? You know? So that is my concern. How can such things happen? You get only the one five is out of the first, not the second marriage, but the other six. How are they going to take them into the world? So I was saying I'm going to raise it here, and you are saying, it's also sorry that it's going to be raised. The thing because he's going to get left out of it, they're so busy, but I'm going to raise it. It's not fair towards the other children. And that is my question. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. I just want to hide from her question because I've got a similar situation in Port Elizabeth where a payment was made to a wrong person who is not related at all to the family. But because of the processes that you follow in terms of the meetings you attend, and the person goes to the police and make affidavit and claims to be a family member, just for the sake of helping, because we are public representatives, those things, they come to us. Who exactly do you communicate with when that has happened? Payment is done, completely. That's one. But I'm just reminded by her question. My first question from the presentation, Chair, is that from the the input by the Honorable Minister on the issue of agri-park. I heard that you have targeted districts. My interest, you have metros that are rural in nature. Is there a plan from the department to also identify those metros that are also rural in nature, or just including the metros? That's the first one. The second one is on page 27. I saw here your target on page 27, your provincial target. I saw that you only have one Eastern Cape, and there's no other. You have already done one in terms of your target. Exactly what is it that you do in terms of this project? And why is it only one in Eastern Cape when you have others that have 50 and 14, for an example, just for understanding maybe the criteria that you use when you make your target? And again, Chair, support for production. There's also a budget allocation there. I would like to know the criteria used to give budget to provinces. Is it are you using it in line with your Africa, what is it? The population of the area. And aren't you also considering areas where they were seriously disadvantaged before we have power? Because I think those things, they need to be taken into consideration. That's my personal view, Chair. The issue of 30 days, I'm happy that you have responded to it. It is a very serious matter, Chair, which we bump up with a lot of people that are complaining, not necessarily about this particular department, about government generally, that we do not take seriously the issue of paying on time to the extent that you have people that lose lives because of that. So I'm appreciating the fact that we have taken up the issue. Those were my questions and comments.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I've got a few questions. Firstly, I would like to know, in terms of the first presentation, you know, the targets that set out the minimum requirements, including 100% performance and all of that, per province, is there a monitoring system in place for compliance of this for the provinces? So that you actually see that they are keeping by that minimum standard. If there is, can you please give us a report on the performance of the provinces with regard to each one of those minimum requirements? And then what is the consequences of provinces not complying with that minimum requirements, in terms of non-compliance. The second question is, in terms of Chapter 2 of the Constitution, Section 25.5.6, I would like to know what is the plans in place, or is the plans in place for to reform land ownership in tribal areas, and is there a target set in place to achieve that? Those people actually have good ownership of the properties which they are staying on, especially residential. The third question is, with the high volume of land not yet transferred to claimants, by the state, what is the plan of action with targets to ensure that the people own that land? That we don't have a high volume of land sitting in holding by the state instead of going to the claimant. My fourth question is, with the reduction of the department's budget from previous financial years, which adjustments were made to reduce spending? I saw a total, but I would like to know more the physical impact, at ground level, at provincial level. What impact does that have? Because obviously we have to reduce certain programs, and what impact is that having? Question five, with the high percentage of failing land reform projects, what is the plan to ensure that it is corrected and also to ensure that it doesn't reoccur, and as well as for future projects? Because, we can't keep on doing the same thing and having that failure. So what, is there a readjustment? Is there a new focus on how to get that right? Identifying what the problems are, so that we get that. Otherwise, we keep on spending money, and recapitalizing projects and all of that. My last question, Chair, is, second last one, as a large portion of funds of the department is transferred to provinces, which provinces are underperforming or performing poorly in spending and delivering their mandates? Because that's quite important, so that we can agree that at provincial level. And then my last question, sorry for the number. What is your progress in regards with utilizing state resources, like state entities, like Transnet, to help boost land reform, rural development. To make sure that we stimulate. The economy in the rural area. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think firstly on page 32, I think, Honourable Minister, I'll speak to, because I think the APP for very time in the NA. Lots of questions were asked, so I'll speak to a local element here, and probably Gauteng, where I come from, and more specifically on the West Rand. Now, on the West Rand, we have agricultural agri-parks. There was one that the president opened about 1 or 2 months ago, in Western area, where they have these nice letters and so forth. There are also 2 more agri-parks in Mogale City. Another one in Randwest, Baridile, in Brandfley, the back of Brandfontein. Now, I want to know what was done. Firstly, let me start and put it out. What was done in Baridile, because there's only a fence on it. It's standing for very long, and there's only a fence on it. It's supposed to create jobs and wealth for the community there, but it's only a fence. I want to know what was done in terms of it. What are the plans further for it? These agri-parks are further hampered by, I don't know how the departments, how you talk to each other in terms of the agricultural school that is closed in Mogale City. It's standing dormant there. Nothing is happening with the agricultural school. Now, I know it's not in your department, but at least, that cooperative governance, if you see this thing will hamper by initiative and so on. But where I'm getting at is with all these agri-parks, Minister, on the West Rand. The West Rand doesn't have a market. We sell our products to the Johannesburg market that belong to the Johannesburg Metro currently. The thing of agri-parks or agriculture development should be that on the West Rand we must be able to sell our stuff to others or use that to finish a product, not sell only our produce to other areas, but remain in the area. Because if you if you look closely what the Premier of Housing said in his State of Province address this year, we must assist and encourage black firms in township industries to produce goods locally. Now, in terms of addressing that, you know, we have a problem in Housing. When the Premier speaks or other MECs speak, when they say locally, they mean where they stay or where they aim to produce. I can guarantee you that on the West Rand, we have seen little progress over the years. And I think I discussed that with the previous mayor, Councillor Nawa, that you know what, when things go, it will be Tobokchwane, Ekuruleni, and so forth. On the West Rand, we're always seen as a step child. Now, this comes, the Premier sees it as, you know, the agricultural hub, you know, where it's actually the rural area of Gauteng. But we sell our goods to Joburg. You know, why should we travel all the way to Joburg? You know, there's more advantages for us when we have a market. I want to know, how do we do that? You know, can the department advise the Western, how can we have our own, establish our own market? And in terms of on page 32 of the first presentation, supported enterprises. You know, there's only one view in Gauteng. I want to know what is it, and can this one be it? You know, a market for the Western, because it will help a lot, Minister, in terms of job creation and subsidiary factories, you know, coming from that agriculture, because we don't want to send our produce out in Joburg, Tswane, Witbank. They manufacture on our behalf. You know, we want to use it in the West, on the Western, you know, and then send out the final product, because we have access to Kazani from Fochol and so forth. And then the other one is, I only have that one issue at the moment in terms of this one. Just want to check. Yeah, in terms of how do you come up with where different programs must be implemented? I see some of your how you divided programs of money in some of these will be equally split and others not. I just want to know, is there what they call in Latin the mutatis mutandis of this? How do you differentiate between the different? Are there similarities where you say, this can be done elsewhere? That's why we're giving equal opportunity to this, because we know the demographic change in different provinces. But how do you determine these things? What do you use to determine these things in terms of getting it right there? The last one, Minister, a very sore point, and I also stick to the Western, jealously so, but because I think, you know, in different spheres of government, other people will talk about this and this. But, excuse me, I want to know, in terms of Merafong, Kutsong, you know, you ask various questions to water and sanitation, you ask questions to agriculture and so forth. It's being shifted because there are various aspects in terms of the land, singles, especially dolomitic land and so on. I want to know your department's efforts, you know, or where do you lie? Because I'm very, very confused. I've asked a lot of questions on this, and the situation is so dire that, you know, people's houses are falling in. I'm sure you are aware of it. What is this department doing to help in terms of dolomitic land in our country, you know, identifying it? What do you do actually in terms of that? Do you help? Does it stop there? Do you interact with other departments, you know, after you have given the land to people and you find out it's dolomitic? What's the procedure there. I do not know. I tried to read up on it, and I can't find, you know, where exactly to place this problem, in what department, or even, you know, responsibility of each department in terms of environment, in terms of sanitation. You know, I just need to understand it. So thank you, Chair.
To Honorable Lambo. Can I check with Honorable Singh? Do you have something? Good. Okay. Honorable Lambo, then.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me also echo my colleagues in welcoming the presentation. Mine is on the issue of the value agenda. I've got a community that made a claim long before the Valua General was appointed. And the claim took a long time to be processed. And now, they were told that since the appointment of the Valua General, their claim, or they need to launch a new claim so that it can be processed by the Valua General. And I think it was launched early May, and they said it will take 3 months. So I really don't understand how these things work, because the office is still new, the claim has been there with the claims office, if one might call it that. I don't know. In case of them. In women, in the area called women, Guanova. So I just want to know, well, what should they do, or what processes must they follow? Thank you very much, Chair.
Honorable Singh, okay? No, thank you very much, Honorable Member, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister. Really appreciate the presentation. But on the issue of the land, the commercial land, which has been viable for quite some time, but once I handed over to the community, the land which is already in Zapa, being vandalized, others cannot be successful because the former land owner will be having a commodity called land water rights. Before we even transfer the land, the water rights has already been either sold out or handed over to and it finally then becomes so impossible. So the question is, to what extent are you working in collaboration with the Department of Water sanitation, really to look at this because indeed farming without the water is very difficult. And then the last one is that one of the audit committee. Is it external or internal audit committee that is established? So thank you very much. Those are the last two. There are a lot of questions that have been asked. then you delegate to whoever is ready to respond to any question. Yeah, thank you.
Okay, no, thank you. Thank you, Chair. In terms of the questions raised on the one household, one hectare, Ma'am, Prince and the Agri Park, and where are they situated? I think DDG Southgate, when he was presenting it, said we then can give you the detailed project listings that are included as per the plan we've presented. And I think what we will do is then package that so that you're fully aware of where these projects are going to be implemented for all provinces in the current year. So that will give you an understanding. The program is already currently being implemented in the Western Cape as well. There are sites identified, so you'll clearly see that in the report when we present that. And I think in terms of the possibility that we get a quarterly update on the agri-parks, I'm certain we can make sure we provide that quarterly update. We do keep that. We present, as Minister was indicating, because we work very closely with the district municipalities. Then at our MINMEX on a quarterly basis, we receive the reports on the agri-park. So we will make that available. In terms of the issue of the land claim, I think if you're able also to give us the exact detail of that, we can follow up. Or we do have an official here also from the Land Claims Commission who can assist in that terms of the process. And I think you can answer in terms of the process. But in terms of the detail of the matter, if you give it to us, we will respond back in terms of that. I think the same would be, ma'am, in terms of the matter raised around the Eastern Cape. If you give us those details, we will be able to follow up in terms of process around those. In terms of the issues raised around the AVMP and why, for example, Eastern Cape would have won. You remember the two targets that sit there are the River Valley Catalytic Program and the Animal and Forest Management Program. Both those indicators begin to talk to the production support that will align back to the agri-park. So what has happened, remember, as we budget for this year, there are projects that may be running over from last year and there are new ones that are to start. So in the Eastern Cape, in the last financial year, we did a significant number of projects around fencing and boreholes, etc. So the AVMP target was largely done throughout last year. But they're currently working on all the projects aligned to irrigation schemes. So therefore, you'll see the balancing off when you look at the two targeting together as one. And that's the reason. And you'll see them across the provinces in terms of that as we have to allocate budget. And most definitely, in terms of production, we focus in on all the rural spaces and the underdeveloped areas. So in the Eastern Cape and in other parts of the country, what we've done is we're aligning our production areas around the agri-parks so that we are able to increase production that can move into the next part of the value chain with processing that is to happen at the agri-hubs and the farmer production support units. So in terms of the additional areas, remember we're not the only ones that bring support. We work very closely then with the Department of Agriculture, because it is their key mandate to drive production support. And therefore, we work with them. Our job is to act as a catalyst in terms of those interventions. So you'll find that in their areas, they would then, in all the areas put under production, be working very closely. You'll also find in the other programs of the department, like the one household, one hectare, the one household, two dairy cows, the other areas then would be increased. So you'll find the numbers begin to balance themselves in terms of the work to be done in the underdeveloped spaces, because that is our target area for all our programs. In terms of, Honourable Smith, the issues that you have raised around the monitoring system in place, most definitely we have a unit for monitoring and evaluation in the department, but we've also strengthened, as Minister was referring when he started, in terms of the structures that we've established now, bringing in the role of the district municipalities, the local municipalities, as well as the governance frameworks that we've adopted within the department. We have a unit that then has been created, a structure within the department referred to as our back office, which includes corporate support services and our CFO, and they sit together then with the teams from the provinces to ensure that whatever we have put here is being achieved. And where it is not being achieved, what are the key reasons for that? What is our corrective measures that we need to be putting in place? And then what action do we take in those provinces that are not compliant? So we do that, and on a quarterly basis, even as we submit back our quarterly reports into the normal system of reporting, we then are tracking those as well. So we do have a system that we've adopted now in terms of monitoring compliance. And most definitely we are including very strongly the issue of consequence management within the department for failure to perform, as well as for any negligence that happens in terms of our own officials across the country. So we do have that as well. And we work then within the units of the department as well as our labor relations unit in following those two as well. In terms of the issues of, I think Minister will address some of the issues around the policy and legislative framework, but in terms of the farms that continue to fail, and what are we now going to be doing differently in terms of our support, remember that the one thing we need to also understand is that currently the Decapitalization and Development Program is moving over to DAF, or has moved over to the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. So again, we have a team that is working between the two departments to ensure that there's a smooth transition between the project from time of approval to time of the support that they require from agriculture. Again, to support the way in which we work with all our farmers and all our farms, they've been aligned to the AgriParks program in terms of support, in terms of market access and technical support, because we are working with agriculture to combine at the farmer production support unit then the technical expertise of the extension offices as well. So this year what we will be doing is then working on those projects in terms of decapitalization, where the current tranches had already been released. Some tranches had been released last year, and we'll work then on additional tranches. We're also then working again on those farms in terms of a monitoring and evaluation process, and we have a project management unit established under the Alaha trading account, so they are able to monitor for us also on a quarterly basis what is currently happening across in terms of our farms. So we are trying to improve monitoring so that we can improve our responses and our assistance to farmers. We also have engaged in several partnership agreements with commodity sectors as well as financing institutions to assist farmers, including the land bank, in terms of that. In terms of the provinces that are underperforming in spending, I think we could just ask finance, but most definitely we track that on a quarterly basis. For example, even in the last financial year, you'll find that we spent 99.3% of the budget allocation to the department, but there would be those provinces then that were lagging behind in terms of approvals as well as expenditure. For example, Limpopo would be one of our higher spending provinces at the moment, with Western Cape having trailed behind also a little bit in the last financial year. But we will then be able to give you that detail for the last year in terms of where they ended and where they end up now in this quarter as well as we move towards that. I've spoken to the issue of how we're using also state entities. We work in many of our programs, including the strengthening of the relative rights program with the National Empowerment Fund. We work very closely also on other programs with the IDC, with CIFA, to strengthen support to the enterprise development within rural areas. And we also then work across departments. For example, on the NALISEC program, we work very closely with the Department of Defense, and I've already mentioned agriculture. We also work with the Ministry of Women in terms of those issues, as well as the Military Veterans Department as well. That's just some. But we work across several entities, including the Agricultural Research Council, the CSIR, to strengthen our research capacity within the department in terms of how we respond. In terms of the AgriParks program in Gauteng and the areas that you are raising, in Gauteng there are several FPSUs, Farmer Production Support Units, and then obviously the Agri-Hub, like you say, we launched in Western Area. I should indicate that Western Area is one of the first in terms of using high-tech kind of systems for farming. But also we have done other ones in that area, in Selibeng, et cetera, in terms of the Farmer Production Support Unit. Gauteng chose to focus a lot on vegetable production, and therefore many of the FPSUs have your vegetable tunnels, et cetera. I will follow up in terms of the progress on the one you raised. Remember that we work there with provincial government, which leads with the district municipality, and we support, and therefore then there is a prioritization that they put in place in terms of their FPSUs. And I do know they also work very closely in partnership
with the mining areas in that particular, the mining companies, because we are getting funding for farmers from them as well. Provincial government is doing that in partnership with them. But also to indicate that, again, because we work in partnership with province and district and local municipalities, in the West Rand, besides the Johannesburg market that they have, they are in the process of finalizing agreements with Woolworths, we are aware, in terms of even the Western Area Agri-Park. Remember that you have to go through a certain phase to make sure, one, the quality of your product meets the requirements of the retailers, but two, we have to prove also that we are able to bring sustainable supply into the model. And so because Western Area now is one, is able to show the quality, they did have a few problems in the first cycle around quality, but that has improved with the training that has been provided to the farmers in terms of the upkeep of the high-tech systems, as well as then making sure the quality improves in the normal panels as well. So they are busy negotiating those. And we do understand that market access is the most important part anyway of the AgriPark program in terms of the value chain. So that's the work we do up front. And we have a team that has been established between us as a department as well as CTI, EDD and Small Business Development, which is helping them to ensure that we get into the other retailers, which would be a retail chain, your shop size, etc. Because DGI has already engaged and has agreements in place with them. So it's just about making sure that each of the agri parks get to the phase they want to. In terms of the audit committee of the department, we have external members in our audit committee. All three members are appointed by minister. They are external, the chairperson, plus the two additional members, and one of them also then chairs our risk committee of the department. So indeed, that is external members. I'm not sure. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to add on the provincial expenditure budget. 2016-17, the lower west spending provincial offices were Western Cape at 88.2%, Gauteng 92%, but overall provincial offices spent 99.2%. So the underspending was mainly due to the vacant posts that were, I mean, vacant posts, but under household, provincial offices overall spent 100%.
In terms of how to do the allocation, our budget allocation to province, I just want to draw your attention to what is on the slide there. This is the criteria that we are using as the department. From the presentation that was done by DG Southgate, we take all those APC targets and the IFC targets indicators, and then we say how much does it cost per indicator when it comes to IOT and the APC. Then the program manager will come up with the target to say, in terms of what I want to do, this is my target, and then we cost that per target. I think DG will elaborate on that, say how do they come up with the target. But from the finance side, this is how we do it. We put the APC indicator and the IOP indicator, and then we say how much does it cost per indicator. Then the impact on the budget cut, DG will also assist me here. The first round of the budget cut for National Treasure, they amounted to 1.4 billion. But we said as the department, no, hang on, let's go and negotiate together because this is too much, because it's going to have implications on the implementation of ALA, as you see from the presentation there on the slide, and then the compensation of employees of the department and food and services of the department and payment for capital assets. And now this will have a huge impact, a negative impact in terms of implementation when it comes to the budget allocation. After we deliberated with National Treasury, we saved a total of 220 million only. That is going to have a huge impact in terms of filling the vacant posts as you are aware that we have been referring to the department trying to respond to the cost-cutting measures that came up with Treasury. And also in terms of now the investment, the core function of the department is impacting growth. If you see on the side, Ally is part of the investment. We had a huge cut there. And then also under rural development, we had a huge cut there. These are the cuts that are beyond our control as the department, but we're trying to negotiate as much as we can. Thank you.
The issue why on page 27 the same case had one project. Well, our plan is happening on the ground from the community to the municipality, the district, going up to the province. So now this is what the same case has submitted and it has been approved. So our planning cycle starts in June. We are starting planning for 2018-19. So now this is the session we do all the plans. By February, they are presenting their plans, we are approving. We are asking questions, they are refined. So now it happens that they came up with one project. So now, you can help if there are any other issues. Yes, members of parliament and the constituent office can help because there are issues that are raised there but are not reaching the department or our offices. The second issue is the monitoring of the expenditure and the performance, which the honourable member has asked. In terms of the PFMA, we have got a section where we're supposed to monitor our performance, both financially and also in non-financial, every month, which is called in-year monitoring. We are doing it every month. Before the seventh day of every month, we must do the IYM so that we present explanation to National Treasury. So this is how we monitor. This is how we can see that this program is not moving, this province is not moving, and put some mechanism to help them to perform. On the issue of dolomite situation, well, it is in the community where people are settling in the settlement. So now the Department of Housing or Human Settlement is the one that can deal with that particular matter because within the quantum of their money, they've got money for geotech, they've got money for the site, they've got money for infrastructure, putting infrastructure in the site, they've got money also to build the house. So now, if in terms of the geotech of that particular area, it is problematic. So the Department of Housing and the province will negotiate the people whether they need to house it here in the Dolomite there. So if it is severe, like you are saying, the houses are cracking. So it means they will look for another space. So community needs to be mobilized so that they can agree to be moved. Because in most cases, I remember I was once in housing department in my province, we discussed an issue of Northwest where there's a dolomite, but people didn't want to move. The money was there, everything was there, but people didn't want to move. So the only way is then to relocate the people and build them somewhere. And that's the situation. So you can speak to the Department of Human Settlement in the province, both in the province and national, so that they can intervene. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much. Let me start with your question on the water. The matter that we're dealing with in the budget policy situation. But the minister, this is exactly the problem, don't we? I wonder if this is exactly what he said. He added, I can only add that sometimes what they do, you know, up to change the budget. Like, for example, in the 15th. have consumed a lot of water, and downstream we have then the storm farms that are suffering. So they no longer get enough water for irrigation. All those things. So these are two departments we are working on. The first one is the one that water and sanitation. Water and sanitation, the minister has come out very strongly to say that she's going to amend the law so that the water rights are not attached to individuals but to the land. So that's the problem. Now the other one is really the other one of the changing use of the land from agricultural production or other grazing or cropping to game farms and golf courses. That's agriculture. It's a question of monitoring and enforcing compliance with the law. It's not happening. That's one of the things that we would try to commissioner must to enforce. It would help people to learn land from very, very much. The OPG, the Velo General Session, one other thing. Sometimes officials tell stories when they say to do the work. Because suddenly the Velo General office will be responsible for the slow pace of the finalizing of land plans. But we cannot do without the Velo General. And the Velo General seems very much short time than what was in our demand. Because remember, by the time they come to the Velo General, they've done the primary installation. The Velo General may not, they use their own methodology for me to even on a desktop level at that time. And they can take it. But if there's a reason for them to go out there, they go there. And that will take at most a month, maximum. I've not heard them take a long time, 2 months. That's why I think the CPM is asking which we are going to accept. Let's get the information. Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
It's not
Thank you, Chair.
Metros with Rodar and Babalusi. Etegwini is 70% Rodar. So it's a big metro job. Same with Babalusi. And that's Mandela to some extent. Mangau is, you know, there's quite a number of them. What in terms of the artifacts? The Mangaung, that's where we have an active park in the West District. But it's in Mangaung, not the, now the, not the important part, but the rural part. So with Buffalo Creek, for example, it's Amator. And you'll find that the farmer protection support units, the farmer support units are generally in Amator. You see what's being planned in the east, in the Gazara area. But they decided that it will be in Badawa, the other part of the Amateur. How it's going to work, but they take the decision themselves. We don't take decisions about where agriculture should be located. They are taken by provinces in districts. What Etegwini has done, or KZN has done, they've pushed it as one of the districts when it's not really a network. I don't know how we'll deal with it across the country, but we're following at the moment the guidance from provinces and districts. we don't have mothers in the West Bank. That's exactly why we create an artifact. We create artifacts in order for them to be mothers for the producers in the area. Anyway, I had asked the team, I was asking them, do they have, because the progress that we made in artifacts, I was going to ask at the end of your formality, which I don't know if you can see in this question. I wanted to show you on screen what progress has been made in the various districts. You might go to the first one to see that. Yeah, Silver Pan is one of them.
Yeah.
Yes, and the Mauritania, in fact, Mauritania was designed in combination of Tennis South Africa's reconstruction site and the other part. So we're moving. We've done the dam design, the dam we are planning. So now we can get into the funding for much more. But we have to both the parks and the various construction units. So it's what I'm saying that I chose to do is that. That's exactly the reason why. The agri park is in an area where there is no market. Because the agri park is the agri hub is going to be where we want to see even retailing taking place. Over the next 10 years, we support all the agricultural producers financially and technically to ensure that they produce and they sell there, and those who sell there will own 70% of that part of the incentive station. Government will support them, but only 50% make sure that they strategic support to the producers. So and the state retailers in the space. That's what I want to show in Western area. There's no separation in terms of construction for such a good in production as well. So the last set of issues, and this is one of the members I thought that the last question of success that is just in Delta. Trading land reform project and the progress with regards to the implementation of SAB, the Catacumbia and the Delta. The thing that there's one of the challenges when we face with land reform is that when people talk about data of land reform, they say there's a lot of land that has been transferred by the land power, land which was productive. So, and this is true. But what is not said beyond that statement is to say, who is responsible for development of the land? Well, we know. You've never passed any budget of ours that talks about farming. You pass that budget to agriculture all the time, but all the things of agriculture always depend upon us. What are the provincial governments doing with the land that is lying fallow there in their provinces? What we did already, and we have been blamed for it in a way, because we realized that this is the situation. We then said, let's take 25% of the baseline budget of the department on land reform. And then we do recapitalization. We created a program called the Recapitalization and Development. There's no money for us for doing that. It was just a strategic intervention because we were worried about what is happening. Well, we've been told last year, they said, no, that's why, that's why they wanted to reduce money. They thought they had given a budget. I discussed with them, they said, they didn't know. Now the farmers themselves were going to staff, to CPSC, and all of them say, no, no, move away from the state. The farmers say, no, no, we don't want to go to staff with this because of I come from agriculture, I was a little bit of agriculture. I knew exactly what I was doing. I knew that it's not going to happen. A lot of land had already been transferred to people, nothing but on the ground. So that's why I said it's a recapitalization development program. We're stopping now, end of recapitalization, that's the reason. Because they wanted the program. say that fund is a program to the sheriff. They say no, we don't want it, we didn't know, we thought it was just money. That's how if only if the portfolio committee could ask that this question, not us. Don't ask us the question which doesn't belong to us.
It is true that in the finger is pointed at you. If we, when we were in Alexander Bay, dealing with the community that they were, the CPA.
So now this is
the baby of land reform and the one that established this failing CPA. You see a community that one can characterize as a rich, poor community, fighting each other, even the bigger picture. You go to Saffron, where you'll be dealing with this plantation, where there's a community under Kosi Nid in Mpumalanga. The very CPA, same problem, and then this was established by rural development and then. But the one that is pressing, which I want it to be resolved once and for all, is this Alexander Bay issue, where we find maybe the Department of that's communication and public enterprise, as well as the rural development and agriculture. Perhaps we either go there and resolve it. The CPA is run by the family, chairperson and the wife. Okay. So there are a lot of proceeds that can help that community. Past land, which used to be used for agricultural purposes. So we look at maybe the space as to when can we, but make sure that there won't be any department that will be pointing a finger to one another. Mm. If need be, that it should be resolved, so be it, and establish another one, and perhaps also come up with a process, but I'm told there is a lot of money funds there. A process of training with the community. I think that you can also really help us. Yes, you are going to have to be
it's a problem because part of what happens is all planes must submit determination. If they don't submit determination as a whole, then those who are left out will be left out. And families do this all the time to exclude some of the members of the family for whatever reason. Some of them excrete, others because of their attention to their families, etc. And then once the claim is approved and the compensation, particularly for the compensation, then you see this, so that's why I say I want to see that so we can follow that. In any case, if people were left out in the situation, then the communal then today, as we speak here, yesterday I spent the whole afternoon from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock in traditional industry. So, the cost of this was the secret. asking that, remember that with the advent of democracy, the 50% of the Department of Defense and South Indian Affairs, so that it will be that in fact. So we will be that land in fact. So we will be that back to the So that's what we think. We will see how it works out. Because we did show them what challenges it would bring. But they seem to be other members who understand that. Because we just concluded phase two of the land audit, one of the recommendations we want to make is this one, that the public consider giving the land back to the traditional institutions. We did pose a question to a constitutional group. How will they determine, even if that land goes to them, in terms of the bound side? But internally, we have got our model is communal land institutionalizing itself, in other words, legalizing the ownership of households of their land. In the basis of the one household one, because we can show that no particular opinion. So what happens is, in terms of tradition, the male, the ones who have married automatically, and they don't even consult the members of the family. That's what people are telling us. So we I was saying to them, that's what's going to happen. We have to protect the rights of people, whether they're the spouses or other family members, etc. So that's where we are right now. The common land payment bill is coming out. And the high volume of land in the hand of the This is a big question. Now, when we started the department in 2009, I asked the officials of land affairs to inherit that. How much land was lost after it was already 5% of land has been lost. Back to the farmers, land went lost. I said, just I'm doing away with that elder thing. I'm going to just stick to the plan. It's the current one where we buy the land and keep the price. Until we stabilize the land market, we can't be like people who are putting water, throwing water into a big bucket, which is what happened. Even as we were starting the department in 2009, there were 14 farms that were an option by the land bank. I took 280 members without any budget, without budgeting for that. I just took that money and protected them, just put it with the land bank to say, don't do that. That money until now is in the interest, it's now about 270. So we are busy now renegotiating with Treasury so that we go to Cabinet to determine now how that money could be used now. But we want to use that money as security for collateral for the emerging projects now, so that it's no longer just service or that is there. Yeah, so that's the route we're going. And lastly, no, that's what the adjustments have been done. I hope those three are observing. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable members, and the department.
Okay, thank you.
I just wanted to say thank you to the minister, honorable minister. If you intervene in Hazeldorf, Beck Farm in Hazeldorf, you know Beck Farm is Beck, I told you, you know, like that, for nothing. And you must go and see what is going on in Beck Farm. There is a a petrol station, everything is now there. Our people need us. I was saying, let me come, because I know the people. You say that the ANC is nothing, or there is a government person. Nothing for you. You had a farm, you sold it back. So how much money is it? Let's come and put it in the paper that people can see who is out of this government. They're failing us. We are in the minister, they are really failing us. But I'm glad that you another process, you know, another process in the future. The one thing that I want to ask, is it only on the communal land that you're having this program, or is it, you know, when I was working in the province, Marius was the minister of transport of public.
Because it speaks to the challenge we have in people wanting not to be because that bill provides for, this is what they landed on last week, it provides for a commission which will make it unlawful what we declared the land to be open. Anywhere in the country. So therefore, everyone will have to submit their land to that commission. And then the penalties in terms of the bill is terrible. But secondly, it speaks to where people are using the land to criminal purposes, or they obtain the land unlawfully. But there's also a big debate. What do we do with land that's held by foreigners? We don't do anything but land by invalidation, or even corruption. So we also looking at sector and land tax, we should make sure that we spend an absolute amount of land that is by invalidation. At the same time, the question of fulfilling, doesn't matter whether it's national or foreign, that one is there's no debate about it. It's going to happen in terms of that thing. So we want to have that law passed this year. We know it's going to be, that's why we're going to put up the of our consultation, because learning from the restitution, we know that we have to do thorough in consultation. The second one is electronic system. That one again, also receiving a lot of challenges. People are already having because look, you come if you come from the Eastern Cape, you pay two conveyors when you buy land. Because it's in land here, the goods is here, not in the Eastern Cape. That's why now we are starting to all provinces. We have South Africa, which is actually saying that we go for Mpumalanga as well. Because we are decentralizing. The challenge there is that with electronic station, it means that the conveyancing business, they are up in arms as well. Because now it means that when you buy land, you can submit directly to the group through electronics. And then what happens is the middle people, who are men, the middle men are going to lose their business. And it's a big, it's a radical, very radical transformation that's coming through. And that's why there's such a reaction out of it. Yes. Here we, if you want to finish your meeting, because you don't want to spoil it, but we can show you the progress on the other part.
Members, before, can I read this report for your consideration? Report on the budget votes and the annual performance for ARASU. Report of the Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources on the budget vote and the annual performance plan 2017-2018 of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, budget vote number 39, dated 30th May 2017. The Select Committee on Land and Mineral Resources, having considered budget vote 39 and annual performance plan 2017-2018 of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, reports that the committee has concluded its deliberation thereof. Can I get any proposal as a second?
We can wait for very few minutes. Mind. Kanti lingazuvela phezulu ayibo hayi ke ngosuku
still working on the foot.
Yeah.
You had better other shoe, also comfortable shoe.
Thank you.
this is now the actual progress on the ground. Hand over to COVID to make an input on the challenges that we are experiencing in the two departments, agriculture and rural development, and the issue of the GA and the legal implications.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I mean, what I wanted to highlight, but I discussed with Chair quickly, is I fully understand the post-settlement support responsibilities of the Department of Agriculture, but what I wanted to highlight with Chair is in the legal requirements of the CPA Act, if a CPA is registered and a piece of land is transferred to a CPA, the legalities of that management and support interaction remains between the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and the CPA. There's requirements for the CPA and there's requirements of support and monitoring from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, then linked to post-settlement support from Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. That becomes a continual intergovernmental relations exercise. There isn't, unfortunately, a straightforward solution where one department or one entity can be the go-to place. It will remain a dual department interaction with that CPA. And then, therefore, our committee, as we have both those departments in our committee, we become a very good support tool for that interaction if there is any issues that anybody wants to identify, because we have both those entities or both those departments in our committee. Thanks.
Trustees are not included because they fall under justice. But the problem is our problem, all right, because we people choose trust sometimes, not just the CPA. Although we encourage them to go for the CPA because they appeal to the direct in terms of the law. Now, that is exactly the point. Because there are problems, these are institutional problems, not developmental or productive problems. That, in other words, when there's a problem of the CPA or trust, we fight it for 6 years, so not to go very far. This is 6 years, with a trust. You see, we work with them, but what we did was to get establishing a reference group for district six. So that we deal with that reference group and there's progress. You can see the construction of houses. Because we created an institution that we can deal with directly instead of going towards justice, which fundamentally here, where we try to help problems of the CPA and take it to it's a trust, we're trying to say to them, let's look at these two institutions, the CPA and the trust. Yes, we take them. Three people, a week later or two, they went to the master of the High Court and take them. They said, please appoint us as interim trustee. And he did, or she did, whatever it is. She did, or he did.
And suddenly they say you can't come here with us because you are. Alright? So these institutional challenges that affect development. Now, what we have done, I mean, let's show you the resume, let's show you something here that dealing with that in two settings. There is a rural setting where you have communal land, and there's a setting where it's 87% of the land, let's put it that way. Now, the challenge with the communal areas, so that one, it's a CPA, that's where the traditional is. It went to court. The court judged in favor of the CPA. Alright? The problem now is implementing that decision. Because the people, the same people who are forming the CPA, owe allegiance to the chief the land. And in other words, their own traditional institution. Now, more you are the chairperson of the CPA, also the CPA is split between the people. You know what's happening in the church. Probably a very. So we fit with those problems. Alright? We were saying to them, the law may take it to and may pass a judgment, the court. But you still have to implement there. When you have to implement, you have to talk to people. And then here there is Moyo there. He goes there, he says, the court has judgment there. But the people say, get away. The very same people who are members of the CPA. Get away, this is our traditional institution. So we faced with those problems with this institution. But the with regards to the other one, which doesn't have traditional institution, again, this is where the problem arises. The problem arises because of the fight. Now, political parties, where are you on the ground to solve problems of the people? Why do you want problems of the people to solve by taking paper, officials, bureaucrats? Where? That's a big challenge for me. I wish I was the body that's voting and saying when you come to vote, you say, oh, thank you very much, we're for the vote, look at this land, you're fighting here, where were you?
Interesting. If you also look at the sustainability of this trust, taking Ingwenyama trust, is there any way at some point where it will be sustainable, not without being supported, in appearing in the budget at all times? So that is another, maybe at some point when you are from seeing that having done some oversight, because it's now setting also another precedent in the entire country. Say, here is a trust in a particular area, the Ingwenyama Trust, which is enjoying this type of support. Is it going to be a perpetual support? So that's another challenge. But otherwise, you are...
I hope that when we when we come to the committee with the land audit, because the land audit might deal with some of the challenges that we face the challenge is that we need to deal with that matter, for example, the Ingwenyama Trust, in a way that I think the legal team of the committee left with the other side. Because we got, for example, a legal team that said the act itself might affect the national constitution. We have not accepted that. But then also in the trust is done was separating the trust from the board. So I think
because legally they sound as well. They understand the implications of what is happening and how it was. But remember that the person is enforced by that legislation in California and before the independent election. So the court has passed that will be the president declared bandit in the law. And then 27 we were voting for the motion. So I think in the hate there were lots of things that here. So we might have to look at that and look at whether that was constitution of the constitution of the current law. And I hope that the committee
on the Mali Bank report,
yes.
I don't see where we, one of the basic problems were that in terms of the IDP and what the housing miners did, the alignment of the IDP and the mining houses, I think that was one of the basic or it should be one of the recommendations or resolution recommendations. And I don't see it specifically under the recommendation. I should think it should be put more explicitly. Because one of the problems that we found out that the mining houses will come and do X, Y, and Z and the community doesn't actually need it. So it must be aligned to the IDP. But further to that, I think what we also said is that not necessarily giving the money to the municipality. The mining houses can do it themselves, but they don't have to give the budget to the municipality. But it must be aligned to what the people want in terms of the IDP. Thank you.
And so with that input.
Now, secondly. Secondly, on page 25, Jefferson, C on top, additionally, the delegation resolved during the follow-up visit that the continued absence of political decision-makers of the department at this oversight engagement was unsatisfactory. It was decided that the committee should make time in its meeting schedule to invite the Minister, Deputy Minister and Director General of the DMR to attend a committee meeting where this situation will be discussed. Right? I just want to know, because you have other recommendations too, that says IGR. This also tells me IGR. Did we decide that the committee will meet here and then we trash out the issue with the minister, deputy minister of DMR to say that this thing must stop, or we do it in conjunction with the other one? I'm a bit confused there. What did we decide? Because as it stands here, it seems as if the minister must come here, of DMR, deputy minister must come here, and then we thresh out this issue of non-attendance of the political decision makers. Chairperson, I just need clarity on that. I'm not too sure, but I think in IGR, the other recommendations in IGR, it was already mentioned. So I just need to make sure if we leave this one C, it would mean another thing altogether.
Thank you. Thanks. I think what we have agreed as a committee was that in the next meeting, the department should make sure that the minister and all those that the decision making should be party to that meeting. If I understand, honourable members, are we together? There will be a meeting that will be coordinated where you must flag all these issues that we have covered when we are making a follow-up and material. Then we, the minister, deputy minister, and all the decision maker in the department should be not sending just a junior member to the department. I think that is what we agreed upon.
I would advise that we take out a committee that oversight versus us. Because now it says a committee meeting can be here. And that created the confusion for me. I understand what you're saying, but if we take out a committee meeting, it can be a committee meeting at the oversight or during the oversight. But if we say a committee meeting, we can do it anywhere during the year or when. Thank
you. You propose that up front.
The capturing, I just want to check whether the matter is clear to the secretary so that when he captures, it should sound. It should be in line with our plan. Okay. I think the matter is rectified. They will agree to. I'm not sure now with the incorporation or with that input that you made. Is there any suggestion that we should propose the adoption and then there will be a second. Honorable.
I propose, sir.
Julius. Honorable Pakis.
I second.
Oh, okay. No, sorry. Honorable Pakis was not on the oversight.
Yeah, but those things are not new. I was part of the first visit.
And sorry.
I doubt that you found anything new.
In the second visit? Other than resolving, trying to intervene. Yeah, but those are not new. Jefferson, you can't propose in spirit.
Yeah.
You have to know there in spirit. You have proposed. Okay. All right.
Julius second.
Honorable Prince proposed, and then Honorable
second.
Julius second. Okay. No, thank you. Let's go.
Minute. The proposal, second.
Okay. Honorable Smith, propose. Who is it? Who has proposed? Okay, Honorable Singh. Okay. Honorable Inta. Yeah. So thank you very much. Thank you. Just a very long. Yeah, thank you.
need for, okay, the department agree that we can go with you to Alexander Bridge. There are a lot of diamonds there. We can go there. We can leave on Wednesday or on Thursday. Next to that one, that's a small one.
Gracias. I'm not.